Well, this morning, I'm going to be talking about kingdom builders. And now, most of you, this is the old story. You've probably heard it before. The little boy that goes up to his grandpa and says, "Grandpa, can you make the sound of a frog?" And grandpa, you know, when you're a grandparent, you try and do what makes your grandchildren happy. So he, you know, does the ribbit, ribbit, or, you know, and then he goes, why did you want me to do that? And the little boy smiles and goes, "Because Mommy and Daddy says that when you croak, we get to go to Disneyland." Yeah, oldie but a goodie story. But today I actually want to talk to you about money. Yay, a tough topic. I had one pastor friend tell me that the most sensitive nerve in the body is the one that leads to the pocketbook. Matter of fact, as I was preparing this, I thought of a friend of ours back from our days in Jerseyville that shared one time, and it's a funny story. Pastor Hayes at one point did something he hadn't done before, but he knew of a single gal with a family that was kind of just struggling. It had been a tough time for her and her two smaller children. And so at the end of the communion service, he just asked everybody to open up their wallet. I don't even have a dollar bill in there. And take out a dollar and had the ushers pass out the plates, and they're dropping the dollar. And my friend Jeff was telling me, he goes, "You know, Pastor kind of ticked me off because I opened up my wallet and all I had in my wallet was a dollar bill. And I'm thinking, my last dollar. And he wants me to give it." And what he found out later was that, and he happened to be dating this gal, and he found out later that rather than embarrass her, he just said, "We have somebody with a need." Well, it turns out the offering that was given that day went to the gal that he was dating. He goes, "So here I am, I'm mad at Pastor because he asked for my last dollar." And then he gave it to my girlfriend, gave the money to my girlfriend to help her out. So I thought that's often telling. You know, how many times does God ask us to give where we might be thinking, "Really, Lord, don't you under..." But he does understand and he does know. And so often the times when we give and how our attitude towards money many times reflects our attitude towards God. I thought it was interesting, this whole thought of that the nerve that goes to the pocketbook being the most sensitive nerve in the body remind me of some teaching, because we've gone through the Dave Ramsey classes. And he talks about how he encourages people to pay cash as much as they can for stuff. He goes, because they've done studies, whoever they are, the scientists or whatever, have done studies, and what they found is when you hand cash out, it actually triggers pain centers in our brains. When you use plastic, it doesn't do that. And he goes, and they've done these studies. I know when I worked for Sears many years ago, back when they had the, well, back when there was a Sears, but when they still had the registers pretty much in every department, that they trained us and they changed their thing to where when you came up to buy your purchase, I was supposed to ask you, "Would you like to put that on your Sears charge?" "But we don't have one." "Well, here, would you like to..." And we actually got a bonus if we got people to fill out an application. We put our name on the bottom. "I'll turn that in for you." Why? Well, according to Dave, that they found that people who pay with a card spend an average of 12 to 18% more than those who pay cash, because there's that emotional friction that happens when you pay out cash. So, I don't know. But the point is this, is when it comes to money, it can be a sensitive topic. And so often, especially when the preacher talks about money, a lot of people end up saying is, "Oh, the pastor's just after, you know, he wants me to give more money to the church." No, honestly, what I want is for you to express your relationship with God in a very tangible way, which is through how you give, what you do with your money. There's a reason why when somebody starts talking about something, we have that expression, which is put your money where your mouth is. And the truth is that if you look at how we spend our money, it does kind of portray what we value and what we think is important. You know, isn't it fun to buy that new car? All of a sudden, it doesn't smell so new once you have to write that first check to make the payment. And now, all of a sudden, it becomes a little bit more painful. But the truth is God teaches in His Word a lot about money. And I'm not going to cover everything in detail, but as it relates to our church and how we want to practice our giving, I want to do this, and I want to introduce to you kind of a new way of thinking about how we give, which is where we call kingdom builders. And probably most of you, hopefully, if you didn't get one of these, raise your hand and somebody will get you one. We're going to look through that a little bit later. But the key is this, and I'm going to focus on these two things this morning. On here, you'll see those two words, obedience and generosity. And really, this is foundational teaching from God's Word about us and giving. So let's talk first about the tithe. What is tithing? Well, tithing is a term commonly used today to mean setting aside a certain amount of one's income for God. And typically, a tithe refers to a tenth of one's income because the word literally means tenth. A tithe is a tenth. But often it's used now more generally to mean any amount of money set aside for God, and this money is traditionally given to the local church. Honestly, it's the way in the Old Testament times for the temple, for the priests and the Levites who served in leading the people in worship. It helped provide for them and helped provide for the needs of the temple. In a very practical sense, the tithe is what God uses to underwrite the needs of the church in our world today. Even though we are a spiritual organism as the body of Christ, we're also an organization. We're in the world, not necessarily of the world, but the organization, the reason we have an annual business meeting and the reason we incorporate is because we still interact with our world on legal and a financial level. So tithing, though, on its very basic, is the tool that God uses to one, show our obedience to Him, and to meet the practical, everyday needs of the church and of His people. And now, the tithe is not a new concept. The concept of setting aside of portions of one's income begins clear back in Genesis. That Cain and Abel brought portions of their flocks and crops before the Lord. The idea was to set aside a portion of the first crop of the season to thank God for a successful harvest. It's a way that in our giving we acknowledge God is our source. We read in Genesis 4, 3 and 4. It says, "Now when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift." Now, we know that He didn't accept Cain's gift, and there's a story behind that. But this idea of giving to the Lord and setting aside from what we have and what He supplies to the Lord. Genesis 14, we read that Abraham, as he becomes known, tithes on the goods he recovers when he rescues his nephew Lot. He gives those to Melchizedek, who was a high priest and actually is a type of, becomes a foretype of the Lord, of Jesus. In Leviticus 27, when God gives Moses the law, part of that is this teaching. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set aside to Him as holy." The purpose of these gifts, again, is to remind us that first, everything belongs to the Lord. The earth and the fullness thereof are the Lord's. That in a sense, we really are simply caretakers or stewards of what God provides. Everything we have comes from God. He does that. And so giving a portion back to God to thanks him for what we have received. We acknowledge him, that he is God, he is our source, he's our provider, and that tenth is our way of thanking God for his provision. It's our way of honoring the Lord. That's what Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 bring out. The tithe honors God and is our obedience to him that honors God. It says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. A little later on in the history of the people of Israel, God used the prophet Malachi to challenge the people when they failed to be obedient in tithing. Yet even in his correction, God still promises blessings for obedience, because it really does become a matter of our obedience in the tithe shows our trust in God. Here's what Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12 say. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do this, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. This is the only place in Scripture where God asks us to test him, is our obedience in the tithe. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. See, the tithe is a matter of obedience. And who knows, when you're obedient to the Lord, it brings God's blessings on our lives, because one, it puts our lives in line with God says how we're supposed to live. I don't know whether you've ever tried to put things together. How many know that the worst thing you can get is one of them put together furniture pieces? Because first of all, they don't have an editor to actually give you good instructions, and then they've got some designer that gives you some vague thing, and you know, A and B. Well, what's A, what's B? Anyway, that's my grump. If you don't get things to line up right, it doesn't work very well. But when we line up with what God says and the way he wants us to live, we enjoy his blessings and we are so blessed. Now, that's all Old Testament. In the New Testament, it would have been really nice if Jesus had helped us out here as pastors and church leaders, if somewhere we could go, Matthew 12:12, Jesus said, thou shalt tithe. But he didn't. But what we do find in the New Testament is that there's a place where Jesus is chastising the Pharisees. And he reminds the religious leaders that giving was actually more about... Let me try that again. He reminds religious leaders that giving was about something more than merely money. Giving to God was about a person's heart. He says, you tithe on even the herbs of your garden, but you forgot the weightier matters of mercy and justice. See, Jesus wasn't discouraging the practice of giving or of tithing. Instead, he was pointing that giving was one of the many ways a person could offer their lives and dedicate their hearts to God. Because see, more than anything, Jesus is after the hearts. He wants our hearts to be right with God. And I believe this is true because in another place where Jesus does talk about money, he says this, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. This idea that if you really believe in something, you're going to support it out of your livelihood. That's part of the reason why, and one of the things I love about our church, this church has a heart for missions, for what God is doing around the world through people who say yes to him, like the couple that's going to be here in about 3 or 4 weeks. God said, they said yes to God, and so we want to partner with them to help them take the gospel to places where we individually and as a church can't go or don't go. Because that's part of the heart of this church. So tithing is more about the money. It's about our hearts. So giving to God today is about so much more than simply setting aside a certain percent of your income for God. It's about declaring that life is more than the things that we gather on this earth. You ever seen somebody, I've always wanted to honk at them and say, no, you're wrong. You ever pull up behind somebody who has a little bumper sticker on their back of the car, he who dies with the most toys wins? Nope. Lay up treasures in heaven where rust and moth do not corrupt and thieves do not steal. See, tithing reflects obedience to the Lord and is a sign that God and his kingdom are what we hold close to our hearts. That's the point of the tithe. It's the obedience and shows what's important in our lives. So that's the tithing side. That's the obedience side. Now let's talk a little bit about generosity. Generosity is giving over and above the tithe. When I went to a meeting where some of the pastors were learning about this particular model for giving, one of them asked, they say, well, do you encourage people to give to kingdom builders if they're not tithing? He goes, no. First, you need to be obedient to God with the tithe. And when you've learned to trust God with your tithe and see how he does bless, when we are obedient to that, in obedience to that, then we find that God gives us or blesses us so that we can be generous over and above the tithe. Tithe first, and then as God blesses above that, and you're able, give above that. See, generosity is born from the belief that God not only supplies our needs, but blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And just, I want to tell you this because I didn't believe it when I first read it, or somebody told me this at a training I was at, but then they brought out the research to back this up. Despite what you may hear in the secular media, especially when a famous person makes a huge donation to some charity, and it's wonderful that they're doing good things with their money, but studies have shown that Christians who consider themselves born-again believers in Jesus Christ give more to charity than anyone else in our country. Even though there are times they think, well, it's all about, you know, the local church, you know. Pastor wants to go to Hawaii this year. No, I don't. though it is on my bucket list, if the Lord should tarry and the day should come. It's not about building a bigger, more magnificent building. It's really about learning to obey God and then let God bless us in such a way that as the body of Christ and as that local expression of the body of Christ, we get to give so that the name of the Lord is glorified, that people get to hear the good news about Jesus Christ and that lives are changed. I know there are some of you here today because that's exactly what happened. You had a need and the church reached out to you, and through that you experienced the love of Christ and you realized that Christ wanted to be a part of your life and work in your life, and that through that conduit you came to experience the love of God, and you're a part, that's why you're here today. You're a part of this congregation. That's what it's all about. See, it's not necessarily about the big chunks that get the media attention, but it's about us doing the little things. It's about us many times, you know, it's amazing how many stories, and we could probably, each one of us, tell stories of times God has spoken to our heart to do something little. Maybe it's even just offer a ride to somebody for a Bible study. Or I still, back in the day when I was the editor for the Live magazine, which is adult Sunday school paper, the gal that goes, it was so strange. She goes, I mean, I try and hear from the Lord, but that day it's like I'm going through the grocery store and it's like the Holy Spirit or an angel sitting on my shoulder. Pick this up, pick that up. And when I got done, it was like, okay, all the extra stuff that you picked up, put it in a separate bag. And she's thinking, am I going crazy here? Am I nuts? But she was obedient to the voice of the Lord. And when she got done, she took those, and then the Lord said, drive over and to a friend of hers. She didn't know that her friend's husband had been sick and not been able to work. And when she brought the groceries, she just goes, the Lord just put you on my heart today, and I was grocery shopping, and he asked, you know, it's kind of like he just said, take this and this and this. And the gal, as she opened up the bag and started taking stuff out, she just starts bawling. It wasn't simply that she got groceries. It was the brand of cereal that her kids liked. It was, you know, the type of vegetables that they liked to eat. Not just simply that they got food, but that God showed, because she said, I've been feeling like God had forgotten us. See, that's the generosity side, that God can use us to be a blessing. Now, does that mean God's going to do that? I don't know how God's going to work through your life. But if you're obedient and listen, and God supplies that need to be generous, that ability to be generous, when you do that, it brings glory and praise to God. Now, as we look at generosity, there's some teachings from the New Testament that encourages us to be generous as Christians and gives us some guidance. The first one is this: give according to what you have from the heart. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says this: whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. See, the idea here is I have some extra, God speaking to my heart, I'm going to give of that, and I do it gladly. Now, there are times that God may call upon us to sacrificially give. But most of the time, it's just God working in our hearts and saying, I want to make you a blessing in somebody else's life. Second part of this is to give cheerfully. So give according to what you have from the heart. Give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give it reluctantly or in response to pressure. And please understand, this message is not meant to put pressure on you to give, but to instruct you in the word of the Lord and his desire to work in your life. And if you feel like that's pressure, I apologize. That's not what it's intended to be. But listen to the last part of that verse. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Not like my friend Jeff. Eventually he became cheerful about the giving, but he wasn't at the time. Number three, give to advance God's kingdom and to bring him glory. 2 Corinthians 9:13. And really, you should go back and read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It really, read all of this in its context, and there's even more there, but these are the highlights I wanted to bring to you today. 2 Corinthians 9:13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. When we give in the name of Christ, out of love for Christ and out of love for people, in obedience and generosity, it brings glory to God, and it does open up hearts to the gospel. It's why not only do we want to send people who say yes to God to some places, but if you remember the guest we had back in November, and she shared about how where they live, water's a big issue. So they give water filtration systems into villages. And why? Because it opens the door for them. We're showing you, we're giving this out of love for Christ and love for you. And often that opens the door for them to begin to talk to people about Jesus. Kind of the old expression, people don't necessarily care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's what generosity does. So let me introduce Kingdom Builders to you. Why Kingdom Builders? Well, it's a new way of presenting an idea of giving to people who haven't grown up in church. In a sense, it simplifies giving. Tithe reflects obedience. Kingdom Builders reflects generosity. We want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to be generous in the Lord's name. Because the truth is a lot of times younger people don't often get how we have traditionally given. I remember this when I first started going to church. Now, this is going to date me a little bit. We had CAs, we had WMCs, we had MM, which was men's ministries. How many of you remember going through that? And, you know, and we, you know, there's tithes and, you know, even our old envelopes, you know, we had missions and building fund and God Squad and then that little other thing. A lot of times that's very overwhelming, especially as people are coming in, because truth is the folks, I mean, we want to reach everybody, but as we're reaching out, especially to younger families, most of them have little or no background in church. They don't get all, what, you know, you give to this and you give to, you know, that's just confusing. Well, this is a very simple way, because for them, they understand generosity. You've probably heard of GoFundMe. Now, as an old person, there are times it aggravates me. You know, because I've seen some of them GoFundMe. It's like, pay for your own college education. We did. We paid for our kids. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe that probably does not come from a generous place in my heart. I shouldn't laugh at that, but just transparent. But young people understand GoFundMe because people put a need on a site and people give to it. This idea of I'm going to share my need with others, and hey, if I want to, I can, you know, give them $5. I can give them $100. And there's some amazing stories on this. One I came across is a guy named Matt. He was grocery shopping and he met a young man named Chauncey, who offered to carry Matt's groceries in exchange for some donuts. Well, once they started talking, Matt learned that Chauncey and his mother were living in extreme poverty. So Matt started a fundraiser through GoFundMe to help Chauncey buy a lawnmower to make some money. It wasn't just simply, well, let's give the money. It's, hey, here's a kid who's willing to do stuff to help take care of his family. Let's get him a lawnmower. He set the goal at $500. Anybody want to guess how much was raised? How much? 27? How about $342,000? Yeah. Yeah, wow. So it's not that, especially younger people out there aren't willing to give, but for them, this idea of where does my generosity go? Well, that's what Kingdom Builders helps them understand and define. And that's part of the reason we want to do this. Again, for us up here, you may get tired of hearing about it, but from this point on, when we talk about giving to the Lord, we're going to talk about honor God with your obedience through your tithe. Use Kingdom Builders to express your generosity. Even when we have guest speakers come, one of the things that's built into this is the idea that we're believing God that instead of necessarily taking a special offering, when a guest speaker comes, it doesn't mean that you can't, if God really speaks to your heart, you can't do something for them. But we've already kind of, as we prayed as leadership and thought, when someone comes, we want to be able to give them. And we looked at what we normally would come in when we have a guest speaker. It's, especially somebody that's going to be going overseas or to a ministry here. And we actually set that number higher, a little higher, than what would normally come in, thinking, Lord, as we're doing this, we want to be generous. So if you're thinking, well, when we have a guest speaker, how come you're not doing a special offering for them? Well, because we're building that into Kingdom Builders. And the idea that it's amazing. Now, granted, this is a much larger church than ours. But one of the things when they started doing this, at first, the missionaries that would come to them were thinking, what do you mean you're not going to take up an offering? Well, then what they figured out was they wanted to be generous as a church, and missionaries were walking out of there, and they had multi-campuses, so sometimes they'd ask them to go and speak at one of their smaller campuses. Well, each one that came, they were walking out of there with a $2,000 check. And they're going, okay, that's not what I was expecting. So see, and my belief is God blesses, and as we're obedient and as we see growth come, that we'll be able to do more and more along those lines. Let's look through this. Again, the idea here, generosity builds the kingdom of God, and we break this into three areas, globally, locally, and in the next generation. So we're kind of shifting how we teach and practice giving, and basically we've got the two buckets. You've got the tithe, you've got kingdom builders. Now the tithe covers the operational costs of the church, ministry costs, salaries, utilities, upkeep. That's all coming out of the tithe that we give. Kingdom builders is how our generosity is channeled to the ongoing support of our missionaries at home and abroad, and also to fund projects that the leadership of our church have chosen throughout this year. So here we want to go through, and if you kind of want to flip it right into the middle there, you can read through the rest of the booklet at your leisure. But let's start globally. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if this was our monthly total every month? I want to point out here, because I don't want any confusion, all the numbers that are in here are for our yearly totals. May the day come when the Lord allows us to give $9,000 a month to missions. That would be wonderful. But right now, a lot of these things are things that we have been doing, that we will continue to do. Monthly support of those who we partner with is our highest priority in our giving through Kingdom Builders, through that, what comes in that way. The Missionary Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, those are just target goals. If more comes in, wonderful. If less comes in, we'll send what comes in here. But our goal for this year is $500 for BGMC, and we're introducing Speed the Light to our students in youth ministry. And for a lot of them, many of them don't actually come regularly to our church, but they're part of a youth group. They come to various events and stuff. But starting to build within their mind that, hey, God made it possible for you to hear. Now, ask God how you can help make it possible for others to hear. You see, it's not a huge, exciting goal. It would have been wonderful to add a zero to that. But we're just going to start out little. Because for a lot of these kids, the idea of giving so others can hear about Jesus, it's a whole new concept to them. So a lot of teaching and training going on there. But we get to start doing something as a church to teach our youth more about missions. You flip a page over to the local missions. Again, that total there is for those who are involved in U.S. missions. That number reflects what we give to them. It's something we've been doing and ongoing. This year we would like to be, we're trying to find more ways to plug in locally to express the love of Christ to people. One of the things, and it was neat because we were looking at stuff and somebody said, well, it'd be nice if our church could somehow maybe plug in with what Habitat for Humanity is. If you're not familiar with them, go out to their website, learn more about it. But basically, they are a Christian organization that helps people in need that maybe couldn't get into a nice home in the traditional way, but they help them get into that home through making the payments possible and bringing the cost down on their homes, because they invest sweat equity into their homes. They actually help build their homes. And Habitat for Humanity is hoping and working towards building a home. Matter of fact, just about two or three blocks north of us here is a lot that they're hoping to do that on. So as a church, we want to show generosity and show the love of Christ to that family, not only through giving to help that happen financially, but as we can and as opportunities come, it may just take in a Saturday and go and help them with cleanup after the site. Been talking to the director for our area, and he goes, well, a lot of times churches do bring a group and come help in various ways. So that's probably going to be late this year. I don't think they're looking to start till like August, July or August. So later this year, you'll hear more about that. But just a small way we can make an investment in a family, in our community, and through their generosity, help them see and experience the love of Christ, not only financially, but being on site with them, getting some of our own sweat equity into that family and into their home. Love in the name of Christ. Hopefully you're familiar with that. One of our area ministries, I think they're for Sioux County, but currently they are based up in Rock Valley. But one of the things that they do and that they presented to our ministerial association here in Haywarden is they do an event called the Heart of Christmas that families that are in need can can basically make a request, and they provide, I think, food, gifts for families that just simply, if they didn't receive some outside help, wouldn't really have much of a Christmas. And they would love to do that here in our community. And as pastor, I just said, if this happens, we want to be a part of it. In fact, I'm the one who's been trying to encourage us to do that. There's other ways that I'm hoping we can be a partner with them. And they offer classes that I would love for our facility. But anyway, that's above that. So again, it's not a large amount there, but I think there are several churches here in town that are looking to be a part of this. So we would make a financial contribution, and then we'll show up and help that day to be volunteers. We're hoping this year, how many are praying very hard that COVID just goes away? This last year they did it up in Rock Valley. Unfortunately, they normally have like a program and the kids do cookies and that sort of stuff. This year they just did kind of a drive-through thing, like so much of what's happened in this last year. But we're hoping in 2021 that we can actually have a program, probably do it down at the community center, and that our church will get to be a part of that to bless families in our community at Christmas time. Turn over to the next page here. Next generation, investing in those who come up behind us. And it's not people, don't you believe in old people? Yeah, I believe in us old people. I'm one of them. It's not that we're ignoring us, but we also recognize that we need to invest in the lives of those who are coming behind us. That not only do we need to mentor, that we do need to mentor them, and that we need to encourage and support those whom God will raise up, because if the Lord should tarry one of these days, all us old folk are going to be gone. Right? In some way, shape, or form. And so we need, especially as we're believing, as God brings them in. And Chi Alpha is such a vital ministry here in Iowa, and really not only in Iowa, but literally around the world. We've got some wonderful younger couples and younger people, singles and couples both, that are serving on our campuses, so many of our campuses here in Iowa. We actually do monthly support for the gal that is the director at the University of Iowa. We're going to continue that. One of the things that they do is usually in the fall, they have what they call the fall bash, where as new students come in and returning students come in, they just basically kind of throw a big welcome party and introduce those who are, especially the incoming freshmen, hey, Chi Alpha is here to help you, help you through this, and to be a community of faith for you while you're at school on this campus. And God's done some wonderful, wonderful things in the lives of people. And many times, Chi Alpha, especially for foreign students, they really attach because they have that sense of, the love of Christ is there, and they see the love of Christ, and that care that the students that are involved in Chi Alpha have for each other. Many people who might not otherwise hear the gospel coming from foreign countries come and become a part of the Chi Alpha and hear about the love of Christ, come to know the Lord, and then go back to their own countries when their schooling is done and become, because they're educated, they become leaders within their own communities and within their own countries. And God has worked there's some wonderful, wonderful testimonies along this. So our church, she said, this $200 here is about what she would normally spend. So we're going to help underwrite their fall bash for 2021, this coming fall. Of course, Youth for Christ, love Tom and Roxanne, the heart they have for our students and for our community, for our church. Continue to support them. And we may, if God blesses us and we've got more money, there's some projects they have that I would love for us to be able to help underwrite and do some things. Camp scholarships. We want kids to have and students to have a chance to go to camp. We're going to raise money for that and to help make sure that kids who do want to go to camp have that opportunity this summer. And Trinity Bible College, one of our Assembly of God schools, we help as a church to underwrite their ongoing ministry as they are raising up new ministers through that, but they also have other programs where students come in that Christian atmosphere. They grow in their faith, they get educated, And then they go out into the world as ambassadors for Christ and become functioning members. That's not the right way to say it. Contributing members to churches as they finish school and start their careers. So our total for the year of our giving, if we reach all of our goals or reach each project goal, is $16,470. Now, again, that you may look at that and go, well, trust me, you have some very wise elders, because I think what was my first list of like 25,000 or something? It's like, yes, let's do this. And they go, what did we give last year? Okay, here's a little bit of reality background, and yet it's still, I think, a step of obedience and faith. In 2020, we gave, and I don't know it's an exact number, but real close to $15,355 to missions. That includes BGMC, what we gave in offerings for missionary speakers last year. So our goal in through Kingdom Builders is $16,470. That's roughly about a 7% increase over what we gave last year, which is still a significant increase. It's going to take faith to see God work through us to do that. Individually, we're going to have to, you know, it's going to take faith on us. And maybe it could be that God lays something particular on your heart. Lord, I want to see this happen. I really have a heart for what's going on. You know, maybe you have some connection with Alyssa in some way. The Lord's put her on your heart and you say, I want to see that fall bash happen next year. Lord, help me to be able to do that. And Owen Carr, I think he's still around. I think he's 97. I saw a Christmas greeting from him. The pastor of Stone Church in Chicago started a Christian television station there to reach people that they realized that so many of the high rises and places, buildings, they couldn't actually go in and share the gospel. So God laid it on their heart for this church. They go, we want to get the gospel to everybody in Chicago. So they started a Christian TV station. He spoke one time at a thing about missions and giving. And he challenged my heart in this way. And he was talking in a more rural setting, like we're in. And he goes, you know, you look at some people and they say, I want to give to God. And he goes, so you have a farmer who goes, you know, last year I didn't plant this 40 acres. I'm going to plant this 40 acres, and whatever the increase is over last year, Lord, this I'm going to trust you to bless that and that extra. That's how I'm going to give the extra this year, Lord. And he goes, some may believe God for 40 acres, some may believe God for 400 acres, depending upon your ability and your faith and what God can do through you. We've set this goal by faith. It's going to take faith to reach that. And I want to leave one last verse with you here. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, God will generously provide all you need. For some of us, this may be a time of the year where God may have us sit down and go through our budget. How many of you know there's a difference between wants and needs? Yeah. Every time I pay my cell phone bill, I'm going, Lord, do I really need this? Unfortunately, this day and age are almost a necessity, but maybe not. I don't know. But you know, there are things that sometimes we think we need that are wants, and maybe God may speak to your heart. You know, my challenge for our students as we've been talking about Speed the Light in youth group is maybe it's just something as simple as, okay, God, I'm going to give up one soda every month. Now a fountain soda at a, you know, gas station is about $2, I think. I said, even if may not sound like a whole lot, but if you'll say, Lord, I'll give up one soda a month, I'll give up two, you know, give that money to Speed the Light. And you think, one soda a month, is that really that huge of a sacrifice? Maybe for a student. I think probably would have been when I was a student. But you're thinking, Lord, how can I? God can speak to our hearts in ways, and it's not that we get the glory. And it's not so, you know, as a pastor, our church gave some. I'm thankful, and again, I am so grateful to God. I'm not talking to a church that's tightwads. You guys are generous. You're already generous. But that God will help us to, in these days, I truly believe, and even more so as all the craziness going on, that we truly are in the last days. And that with God's help, we can do more than we've ever done before for the sake of his kingdom. That's what it's about, is building the kingdom of God. Globally, locally, finding more and more ways to reach into our community and into this area with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. Doing more to reach into the lives of those, if he should tarry, that come behind us. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Let's trust God for that. Let's believe God for that. Make sure we're learning to be obedient to the Lord with our tithe, and then ask God to help us step out in faith with our generosity. Now, part of Kingdom Builders is usually, we're probably, most years, we're going to have two or three what we may call big give days, that we're going to focus on a particular project that is in here that's not part of our normal monthly support. Again, that's our priority, that monthly support, and then asking God above that to let us do some things in our community and in our world through some of these projects. So our first big give day is going to be Easter Sunday, that we're going to focus on giving money toward camp scholarships, because Easter is April. It's only about 4 months, 3 months away. It's going to come fast. So that when the summer months kick in, as camps hopefully, prayerfully, I know not all the camps are happening this year, but hopefully some of the camps will be happening. And if we have students that want to go, we have that money there to be able to help them get to camp this summer. So Easter, rethinking about that. Okay, Lord, what would you have me do? How can you help me or us? If you're a couple, talk about it together. Talk about it together. You know, the interesting thing is, over times when Kelly and I have, we know something's coming up or there's a need that we're aware of, I would say 95% of the time we're in agreement before we ever talk about it. It's like, how much do you think we should give? Well, I've been kind of thinking and praying about it. I think we should give this. And she goes, yeah, that's what I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart. Once in a while, we kind of have to negotiate. But most of the time, God's speaking to both of our hearts. I think he does that as a couple. But on Easter Sunday, we're going to have our first big give of the year. And we're going to trust that God's going to help us do this. Why? Because we want to see his kingdom grow. We want to be the expression of the love of Christ, to open hearts, to hear the good news about Jesus, and to give glory to God. That when we, as the local expression of the body of Christ, reach out in tangible ways to show that love to people in need around us, that God will first receive the glory, and that then their hearts will be open to hear the good news, that they could come and find Jesus. Because the kingdom of God is about the rule of God in people's hearts. It's not about church buildings. It's not about building stuff. It's about building people up in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, I'm just thinking, if over $300,000 could be given to a $500 GoFundMe project, that God, you can do this through us. That, Lord, your desire is that none perish, but that all come to repentance. But we know that cannot happen unless people first hear the good news. And Lord, we know that, like for so many of us, that the reason we even started listening about Jesus is somebody showed us some kindness. Somebody was generous with us in some way. And that, Lord, that began to open our hearts and soften our hearts so that when your word was planted into our lives, it bore fruit and we came to know you. And Lord, that's our desire, is that through our obedience and our generosity, that Lord, you truly would build the kingdom of God on this earth. And Lord, we believe that our time is shorter than it ever has been. So Lord, in the days that you give us, despite all the turmoil, despite all the things that in this world and the voices that call us to be fearful, Lord, we will not fear, but we will trust in you. That you are our source, you are our provision, that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind, that self-discipline. And that in the days to come, Lord, we're going to see more people that are worshiping with us because the generosity of your people touched their lives and opened their hearts to hear your good news. That, Lord, the days will come, that day when we get to heaven, as we used to sing that song so much, thank you for giving to the Lord. As those who are obedient and say yes to your call, and Lord, as we give that they might go and give that they might have tools to show generosity in the love of Christ, that, Lord, hearts will be opened. And that someday in heaven, I don't know whether we're all going to speak English. I know I have Spanish friends that think the heavenly language is Spanish, but Lord, somehow I think in heaven we're going to understand one another. And we're going to meet people around your throne one day that are saying, part of the reason I'm here is because a church in Hayward, Iowa, believed God enough to give generously from a heart that was cheerful and thankful that God could work through them. And because of that, I got to hear about Jesus and spend eternity with him. Hallelujah. Lord, as we go this day, I pray that you go with us. Watch over us, keep us, let your light, the light of your face shine upon us, Lord, as we go knowing that your presence goes with us. Use us, I pray, to be salt and light among those around us. We give you praise for it all in Jesus' name.